Hi, it's Tim Dittman with OSF Healthcare, and this is Healthcare News You Can Use. On this week's show, we're already in the thick of it, respiratory illness season, where ailments like the flu hit their peak. We'll bring you the latest on prevention and treatment. Plus, do you know someone who lives on a farm or other rural property? There are certain mental health challenges that come with that lifestyle. We talked to an OSF behavioral health provider who's lived it. And if you think about cancer treatment, you might picture someone as weak and immobile. Doctors want you to picture the opposite. They say exercise during cancer has many benefits. Well, let's look back before we look forward. The 2024-25 respiratory illness season was a rough one, says OSF Healthcare physician Dr. Brian Curtis. RSV, flu, and COVID were all circulating, putting a strain on health systems. So what does that mean for 2025 into 2026? Well, we don't entirely know, Dr. Curtis says. One factor is how many people get the flu vaccine.
The flu vaccines are ready. And so if you're ready, we're ready. And so really kind of you start getting it now, recommend probably getting it by the end of October. But then really throughout the flu season, it's never too late. So I've always told people that, you know, if it's December, January, you haven't got it, you can still get it. And it's still worthwhile and beneficial for you to do that. And so don't think, well, I'm halfway through the season, why bother now? Which flu doesn't care where it's at in the season, and it doesn't care who you are.
OSF primary care offices and on-call urgent cares are offering the flu vaccine. Give them a call or contact them via your MyChart online portal. Another factor for this winter is how many people get the RSV vaccine. Dr. Curtis says this one is meant for high-risk people, like pregnant women, people 65 and up, and people 50 and up with health conditions. There's also a version of the RSV vaccine for babies 8 months and under. So what happens if you do get sick? Well, it's been said many times, but it's worth repeating. First, Dr. Curtis says most mild cases can be treated at home.
For people that have mild symptoms, the care for a typical respiratory illness, which is primarily going to be viral, which RSV, COVID, and influenza are all viral-related illnesses. Then you get the rhinoviruses, which are common colds. So if you have mild cases of those, low-grade fever, even a fever, you know, cough, congestion, body aches, Tylenol, Motrin, if your health conditions allow you to take it, and then encouraging fluids and plenty of rest is going to be the care for them.
But if you have trouble breathing, can't keep liquids down, your body temp is not going down, you're not feeling right mentally, or generally, if you're not improving after a week, that's the time to see a healthcare provider. And of course, general good health habits are key before, during, and after an illness.
Actually, the best thing you can do is really take care of yourself and make sure your body's actually at the healthiest it can be. So, you know, if you get tired or you're not eating right or you're consuming too much alcohol or just generally not taking care of yourself, can actually wear your system down and actually make you more susceptible or prone to actually get infections. And so really, take care of yourself, exercise, get plenty of sleep, and eat right.
Other tips include to wash your hands often, don't cough or sneeze into the open air, and stay home and away from others when you're sick. Leanne Varble is a clinical psychotherapist at OSF Healthcare who grew up in rural Greene County, Illinois. She recalls being taken aback by the number of her neighbors who died by suicide, around 8 to 10 people over 15 years, she says. What they all had in common, the person faced mental health challenges unique to a rural setting. Now, Varble is using her experience to help others. She says stress, isolation, and a desire to be self-sufficient often plague farmers, especially during the busy planting and harvest seasons.
Hours and hours and hours. And expected to keep working, even if you don't feel good, even if, you know, the stress is getting to you. You got to get up and do it again. You're expected to do that. Or at least that's what your father before you did and his father before him. People living rurally often are independent. And so when stress comes, they want to handle it on their own.
The heads of some rural households might also be caring for three generations, themselves, their parents, and their kids. So that adds a ton more to the worry list, things like school, chronic illnesses, and advanced care planning. So how can those folks improve their situation? Barbel says it starts by simply talking to someone. Get to know your neighbors and faith-based groups and see how they can help. If you're in crisis, you can get help from a healthcare provider without leaving home. There's the 988 Suicide Hotline, or in Illinois, there's the Family Farm Resource Initiative. That has resources online, plus a 24/7 hotline. The URL is siumed.org/farm. siumed.org/FARM. Well, we know cancer treatment can drain you physically and mentally. Between chemo sessions, you might just want to lay in bed. Healthcare providers are hoping to change that mindset. Nathaniel Lehman is an exercise physiologist at OSF who works with cancer patients.
We know exercise is so beneficial for our bodies. Specifically for cancer patients, they deal with a lot of fatigue, tiredness, low energy. They also deal with a lot of joint and muscle pain. Sometimes they have a bone pain. Most of the time they get weakened immune systems. There's just a lot of things through treatment and through their journey that they'll deal with. Even weight loss is another one. Exercising with cardio, with strength training, is really good for our hearts, our lungs. It's good for our muscles, our joints. The benefits also include our mental health, different moods. Our weight it helps to kind of keep a consistent weight. It's also really good for our immune system. It helps to boost that immune system, keeping us healthy for a long time.
Exercise helps deliver cancer medicine through the body too, because a person's blood vessels are opening. Aim for 150 minutes of exercise per week. A common way to break it down is 30 minutes a day for 5 days. If 30 minutes at once is too taxing, try 15 minutes each in the morning and evening, or even 10-minute workouts in the morning, midday, and night.
That includes anything from walking to an aerobic bike on a moderate setting, walking in a pool, doing like light jogging and stuff like that inside a pool, something where we can take that pressure of gravity off.
You can try strength training too, just don't overdo it. Aim for 2 to 3 days a week and avoid heavy lifting.
We don't want to do that type of workout where we're overstressing our body to a point where we can't move the next day. Those guys train for years and years and years, and they put a lot of fatigue on their body that our cancer patients just can't handle.
Long races like marathons are also on the no list for cancer patients. That's healthcare news you can use. For a podcast of these programs, go to WITYradio.com. And for more on OSF Healthcare, visit osfhealthcare.org. For OSF, I'm Tim Dittman.